Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight on accomplishing the impossible. Accomplishing the impossible, and there's a little more to that, by defying the odds. To defy the odds is a cliche, but it has a meaning. And the meaning of that cliche is to accomplish something that most would deem impossible. And most people around you have already decided what is possible and impossible in your life. And so they want to relegate you to what they think is possible. But because you have discovered the power of the Word of God and became a person of faith, you are able to accomplish the impossible and defy the odds. You may be seated. What are the odds? Most people are not going to do this. What does that mean? That simply means that's the odds. Something that the majority of people will not do, and you choose to step out of that multitude and say, I'm going to do this. Even though most people wouldn't do this and don't do this, I'm going to do this because I have a desired result, and I believe that if I do this, there is going to be a real accomplishment in my life. But most people don't think like that. What are the odds? The odds are you have to escape the herd mentality. You know how many people were laying around that pool? A multitude of people. We don't know how many, but a multitude of people, a lot of people. You know how many people got their miracle? How many accomplished what they were there for? One. One out of the multitude. And so if you're going to think like the multitude, if you're going to live like the herd, then you will never accomplish the impossible. You will only accomplish those things that everybody else accomplishes. You will live in the norm. Most people are not going to do this because they simply will not escape that herd mentality. Healing was available to the multitude, but only received by one. We have lots of excuses, especially when you're younger. You parrot these excuses. Well, nobody else is doing it. What does that mean? Nobody else is doing it. That's the excuse for not doing the right thing. When you say, well, nobody else is doing this, that means, you know, I'm not going to pay my taxes because nobody else I know is paying their taxes. That's your excuse for not doing the right thing. Nobody else is doing it. Oh, but there's another side to that. Everybody else is doing it. That's particularly what young people, well, everybody else is doing it, Mom. What does that mean? That's the excuse for doing the wrong thing. I'm going to do the wrong thing because the multitude is going to do the wrong thing. Or I'm not going to do the right thing because the multitude is not going to do the right thing. Number one, if you're going to accomplish the impossible, you have to defy the odds of the multitude. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. If you're going to do great things in life, you will have to be able to pull yourself apart, discipline yourself in such a fashion that people will look askance at you and say, why are you doing that? The reason why I'm doing this is I don't want to be like you. That's the explanation. If I don't do this, I'd end up just like you, and you are a pitiful person. Now, you might not say that, but that's really what you're thinking. I don't want to be like you. You know, there's a tremendous effort that we have in life, but that is hindered if we just look around and say, what should I do? You have to take your direction not from a multitude of people, but you take your direction from the Word of God. And you won't do that if you are an unsaved person. You have to get radically saved, born again, filled with the Spirit of God. And when you do that, you will come out, the Bible said, and become a separate person. I'm in the world, but not of the world. What I see on television is not what I believe. What the great vast number of people are doing is not what I do. Because I intend to do things that are impossible, achieve things that are impossible that other people simply will not do in their lifetime. Number two, defy the odds of tradition. Things that are traditional are simply done over and over. And when somebody does them the first time, they probably know why they did it. Maybe the second time, but the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time. After a while, you no longer know why you're doing this, but you're simply doing it because it is the tradition that's been handed down to you. The Bible said in John 5:4, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the trouble of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." This is a strange story. I've studied this story a lot in all kinds of extra biblical helps and tried to get a handle on really what was happening here. And this is not really a documented miracle. It is historically established that somebody did this. But the truth is that it might not have been happening on a regular basis. But tradition said it did. And because tradition said it did, people replicated over and over and over and over again. And that's exactly what people do with their lives. They follow tradition with absolutely no results, but they do it because they've seen their parents, their grandparents, their family, their friends, older people do certain things. So I'm going to keep doing that. One of the greatest impediments to preaching the gospel, preaching truth to people, when you just tell them the truth, they will look at you just with a blank stare on their face, and they will not receive it many times. Not because they don't know whether it's truth or not. That's not the important. What they're saying is, this is not what I've been taught. This is simply not the tradition that I am used to keeping. And so here was a man that had been laying there 38 long years. You understand that great traditions can be instituted in 38 long years. For 38 years, he had watched somebody. He had seen enough people to believe that it was working for them, that if they were the first in the water when the water was troubled, then they were healed. That was the tradition. And so he had contented himself to be deprived because of tradition. I refuse to be deprived by the error of tradition simply because somebody said it doesn't work. It didn't work in my family doesn't mean it's not going to work in my family. That's the reason why I believe that the Word of God is my source above everything. It is my source above culture. It is my source above philosophy. It is my source above acceptance. It's my source above tradition. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says I can be saved, I can be healed, I can be delivered, I can be blessed, I can be an overcomer. But let's talk about tradition. Let's not talk about tradition. Let's believe that the Word has arrived. That's what this struggle is all about in this story. Of the great multitude of people that were there, the Word had arrived on the scene. You remember, the Word became flesh and stepped into their midst. But only one out of a multitude accepted the Word of God. You can witness to a lot of people, but it's going to be a minority of people that are going to receive the Word of God and see for what it is, because most of them are going to readily accept the tradition of man. And Jesus warned of that. He said, "You esteem the traditions of men over the doctrine of God or the truth of God's Word." Friend, I don't care what people say, what religious denominations say, I believe in the Word of God. And I'm going to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Praise God. I want this church to be filled with a replica, not of tradition, but the Word of God. The book of Acts. I want the power of God to resonate in this place. I want people to worship God not like they saw in some former church, but like they have seen that there is an example in the Word of God. We should not try to design this church after something we've seen on television or somewhere we used to go when we were a child or our families went to, and we accept accept that as tradition. We ought to be searching out the Word of God and say, what does God want us to have in a local church? And what God wants us to do is not be servants to tradition, but He wants us to defy the odds of tradition and reach out and say, God, I am going to have the impossible happen in my life. Most people say it's impossible, but I believe, God, that Your promises are yea and amen. I believe You're able to turn every circumstance around. I believe You're able to reverse every situation. Oh, friend, I defy the traditions of Christianity. I defy the traditions of religion. I defy the traditions of modern Christianity. And I say, God, what does the Word of God say? And the Word of God tells me that we can create an atmosphere that is pregnant with God's power when we come here. That God's not only a respecter of persons, He's not a respecter of places, and He's not a respecter of times. If we come together in one spirit, and we have one desire, and that is that we would be delivered from the mess of the multitude, and our needs would be met, and we're ready to embrace that strange word that is walking among us. They rejected Christ because they had never seen Him. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not real. Just because you haven't heard about it does not mean it doesn't happen. Just because they don't do it in the church down the street does not mean that you should not embrace it. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ showed up, and it was a staggering appearance to them, and only one guy could embrace that. I ask you today, are your expectations for the Word of God and the Spirit of God on a Wednesday night according to the Word of God, or are they according to what we've done for 43 years of Wednesday nights? We come with certain expectations, but we need to enlarge our expectations. We need to begin to stretch ourselves and say, these are not normal times. You say, well, Pastor, I've been in the church a long time. But you were in the church in more normal times. When you were a child in church, they weren't killing 17 people in a high school somewhere. You have to realize these are days that is prophesied in the Word of God, that when Satan knows his day is short, he will come down with all of his wrath. So we cannot entertain the normalcy of 30 years ago or 50 years ago and say that is the tradition of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be asking God for more. We need to be expecting God more. We need to worship God with a new desire and a new zeal. We need to say, nobody's doing it, why don't we do it? We sit around expecting a governor or a president or a Congress or a school board or somebody to solve the problems of America. The truth is, if there is a solution that is to be found in the 21st century, it is going to come from people of God that say, I understand that this is not just vain philosophy. This is demonic attack on the human family. And I am one of the few Americans that have got the power of God to overpower the spirits and the demons of hell that have been unleashed on earth. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to set this church on fire. You say, well, we're waiting on God to do it. And God is waiting on us. He is saying, are you going to succumb to tradition and say, well, I'm just going to wait and see if that angel comes and troubles that water. And then maybe one out of the multitude, maybe I'll get my healing. Are you going to realize that Jesus Christ is in our midst? Every time we come together, Jesus is in our midst. He's here tonight on a Wednesday night. He said, well, I think it'd be easier when the crowd is bigger. Actually, that philosophy is absolutely wrong. Because when you're dealing with spiritual things, there is a law of dilution. When you dilute things, and the more spirits you have that are not filled with faith, that are not filled with the Word of God, that are not filled with expectation, the more laborious it is for you to create the atmosphere of faith that God wants. On a Wednesday night, praise God, we can overcome the atmosphere of doubt and fear and tradition and say, praise God, I am going to experience the impossible tonight because my God is going to make a way where there is no way. He is my Savior, my healer, my provider. He's my Jehovah Jireh in the 21st century. Can somebody in this house give God praise tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Do you understand that when we walked into this building at 7 o'clock and began to praise God, that the spirit that came into this building was not a normal thing in American churches today? It just does not happen that much. Even in Holy Spirit-filled churches and churches that are doctrinally aligned with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, it simply does not happen. If you will view those churches that are Spirit-filled, they now have come to the tradition. They all worship just the same. They all jump at the same time. They all clap at the same moment. It's become a tradition, even in Spirit-filled churches. There ought to be, every time we gather together, a uniqueness to your praise. That you are not looking to see what somebody else is doing. You're not bound by the tradition of what's happened in the past or what's happening in churches in Australia or New York City. But praise God, I am here and I glorify the Lord, not because of what's happening in the universal church somewhere else, but I give God praise for what He's done in my life. There is power in a personal Savior. Have you had a personal experience? Have you had a personal miracle? Does the Lord personally meet with you? Do you know God on a personal basis? If so, it demands a uniqueness of praise that is not emulating somebody else or some other congregation. And so when we come into this place and in 15 or 20 minutes again into the service, the power of God was so tangible, I could feel God's presence in this house. And it might be that we're doing ourselves a disservice to hurry past that. We're probably going to have to learn to stop a while in these services and say, wait just a minute. If we don't get an offering, we will survive. If he don't get a preach, he's had plenty of practice anyway. What we're going to do is we're going to break the tradition of the past pattern, and we're going to praise God in the uniqueness of our own experience until the Lord has His way, until the power of God saturates this building, until the Holy Ghost has free reign to do what He wants to do. He'll save people. He'll deliver people. He will cause anointings to come on people that's been saved for years that are living an unanointed life. Friend, just because you've been saved a while doesn't mean that God has given you everything He wants to give you. There's some of you that have not been anointed yet. And just because you've been saved for 15 years does not mean that God has decided not to anoint you. It simply means that you have never, ever really desired the anointing as much as you ought to desire it. But now you realize in these changing times, if you're going to be the evangelist to your family and the pastor to your household, that you're going to have to be more anointed than you've ever been. So let us break with some tradition. Just talking about the tradition of the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or the Episcopal Church. I'm talking about the tradition of Living Way Church. Just because we've done it the same way for 43 years does not mean that it's always going to be done that way. We're coming down to the last inning of God's World Series. We're coming down to the final relay of God's race. And you're going to see some things you've never seen. You're going to receive some things you've never received. You're going to do some things you've never done. You're going to experience some things you've never experienced. You're going to become something you've never become before. You're going to have power that you've never, ever known. Praise God. This is a day that God is calling a church to rise up and break the traditions that we might accomplish the impossible. That's what the Bible is. It's a bound book of people accomplishing the impossible only through God's Spirit and God's power, not through the enticing words of man's wisdom. Not through knowledge, not through science, not through intellectualism, but simply submitting themselves to the Holy God of Israel. And He flowed through normal men, men with weaknesses, men like Elijah, a man of like passions, men like Moses that had a stammering problem, men like David that had a moral problem, men like Jacob that had a lying problem, but they overcame them all through the anointing of the power of Almighty God. Are there any overcomers in this building? Have you ever overcome anything? Let me just say this. If you've ever, ever, ever overcome anything, you can overcome all things. I don't care what the devil has brought out as a weapon against you. You already overcome some things. And now I want to tell you the pattern is established. You can overcome all things to become what God wants you to be. Can somebody in this church give me a witness? Can somebody give God a praise? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shokosotola. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. The Holy Ghost, in just the last few days, the Holy Ghost has been thrilling my spirit with what he's about to do. I'm hearing the groanings of the Holy Spirit, the whisperings of the Lord. It's a new day coming to you, coming to me, coming to this house, coming to this people, praise God. But we absolutely must defy the odds of tradition and say, just because it's been this way 38 years, it don't have to be that way no longer. You can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Somebody said we need some new people. Oh, God will send new people. But I'll tell you what else God will do. God will make us a new people. God will change us to where we will be unrecognizable to our fellow soldiers. We will become experts in areas where we used to be novices, where we used to be just interns. We will become the prophetic hand of Almighty God working in his church in this last days. I, for one, am excited to be in the last days. I've always said I'd like to live in the old West, back about the time when the trains were invented. I love those stories. But the truth is, I would have hated to have been born and live there and miss what God is going to do in the last age. Because this last age is going to be major. It's going to be mighty, praise God. But it takes people that will divorce themselves from tradition. And tradition always has a stranglehold on religion. It's one of the greatest enemies of what God is doing. And it's just natural that it would be. When you do something one time and get a good result, you expect if you do that same thing every time, you'll get the same result. That's not necessarily true with the Lord. That's the reason why he didn't say, sing unto the Lord an old song. He said, sing unto the Lord a new song. I will do a new thing. He is a God that absolutely is addicted to freshness. God is not satisfied with stale praise. Whatever you've got to do, you've got to break the alabaster box until the scent of your praise takes on a new anointing and a new freshness. You said, but I've always praised God this way. But maybe he wants you to praise God a different way. I say that to you as a saint of God. I say it to me as a bishop. I say it to our pastor. I say it to this congregation. It's hard for us to break tradition, because you fall in love with tradition because it used to be good, and we cannot believe that it's not good anymore just because it used to be. God said, I want a new song. I want a freshness to what you're doing. I want you to change the way you praise me. I want you to get excited about it. Just the same old thing is not going to attract God's attention. When God said he inhabits the praise of his people, it has to be a fresh praise and a new praise. God is not going to inhabit yesterday's praise with today's power. If you're going to have today's power, you have to have today's praise. You cannot live in the past. You can't talk about the way it used to be. What's it like today? What happened in your house today? I got up this morning and I couldn't help myself. I just began to praise God in my house. Is that your testimony? Or you just saying, well, I'm just so glad I'm saved and I'm not a part of this world. God does not want you to rest on your knees. He wants you to break your tradition because God said that you are going to embrace the impossible in your lifetime. You're going to do what the multitude has never done. Can you give God some praise? Number three. Precedent. This is still number two, actually. Precedent is king. We just love precedent. What's been done before is king. And we have to take him off that throne and say, this has never happened before, but it's all right. And let me tell you what, that's much harder to do at 68 than it is when you're 18. Just a whole lot harder to do. The older you get, the more you enthrone precedent and say, this is the way it used to be. And you just worship the way it used to be. But God is saying, I want you to break some tradition. Because I'm going to do something that you've never seen, never felt, never experienced. And if you insist on feeding on the manna of yesterday, remember what happened to it? The Bible said it bred worms and stank. That's exactly what it says. And we don't want to be feeding on maggots and dry crust when God is saying, I am going to meet this generation with a new power. And so we must dethrone the precedent and say, I never seen it in this wise before, but I know it's the Lord. I know it's God. I used to preach in these Pentecostal churches all over this country, and that was always our biggest problem. I was a kid, and so we'd go in and just do crazy stuff, and we'd have major revival. But you know who was always the most resistant? The people that were over 50 years of age, because they had been saved a long time, and they had never seen what was happening, and so they always held it suspect. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's foreign. God's always had it in his quiver. God always knew what he was going to do. He saw the end from the beginning. You think that God is scratching blisters on his forehead saying, man, I don't know what to do with this drug-infested society. I have no idea what to do with this sex-crazed world. He saw the end from the beginning. The gospel is tailor-made that it will adapt to every generation. The problem he has is not the adapting of the gospel, but it is the gospel carriers, the messengers that simply are like Jonah. I don't want to go to Nineveh. Those people are idiots. They are ignorant. They're unlearned. I'm not going to Nineveh. Well, you're going to take a vacation in a well of a belly. I'm in the belly of a whale. You're going to get in a big fish, Nineveh. And that's the problem God has. Is not that he cannot adapt his gospel to every generation. Is the messengers have a difficult time adapting to every new generation. But there ought to be somebody in this building, somebody in this congregation that loves two things enough that they can adapt. And those two things are this. You ought to love the gospel so much that you say, no matter what it takes, I've got to make this palatable to this generation because they don't know what they're missing. And you ought to love souls so much that you say, no matter what it takes, I'm going to help them embrace the Jesus Christ that changed my life. Number three. Defy the odds of time. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? I can tell you this, the longer the need, the less likely the solution. The longer the need, the less likely solution. If you get a bad report from the doctor, that's the time to hit it head on. Because the truth is, you will learn to live with that sickness, especially with the medical science like it is. You get the right pill, the right shot, the right treatment, and just learn to adapt to that. It's not a bad life, but it's not the impossible that you could embrace. Because God would thoroughly heal you where you wouldn't have to have the capsules, and you wouldn't have to have the shot once a month, and you wouldn't have to endure the reoccurring pain. But the longer we wait, the less likely is that we are going to get an answer. 38 years. And he probably was not a member of the seniors club. There's probably people that have been there longer than him. And when Jesus approached that multitude, he said, "Can you believe? Can you believe?" That's what Jesus is saying to us. Can you believe? Or have you bought into the theory that God doesn't do that anymore and God's not going to do that? Folks, all of my life, I've been blessed of the Lord. I've seen God do wonderful things, but I have not yet embraced what God showed me when he called me to preach the gospel. We ain't seen nothing yet. We've got to be ready to divorce ourselves from the multitude. We've got to break the precedent and say, "I'm sorry, but tradition is not going to hold me here." And we've got to be able to say, "Time is nothing to God. He's a God that is not a prisoner of time. And simply because I've been this way for a long time, don't mean I have to stay this way. God is ready to do something." Number four, defy the odds of seniority. This is a big one. The impotent man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Here's the deal. Somebody else is more deserving because their situation is worse. Just fill in the blank. There's somebody else that needs it worse. You know, I could use a raise, but I know a guy don't even have a job. You know, I could deserve a healing, but I know a guy that's going to die if he doesn't get his healing. See, we always want to say there's somebody that needs it worse. You have to understand, we're not straining God. Do you think that God has said, "Oh my, there's too many needs. I can't meet all of them. I have to parse them out a little bit, of one here and one there"? He is almighty. And simply because you get rich, it don't make somebody else poor. Simply because you get healed does not mean somebody else has to die. Simply because you get a ministry don't mean somebody else has to sit on the back seat. So don't give me this, "Somebody's going to need to step in ahead of me. Let me just pull back." God is looking for a people that are wholly angry. He said, "Since the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence." God is looking for some violent people to say, "Hey, I am going to do some impossible things in my life. I'm going to embrace the impossible. I'm going to do what I've never seen anybody else do." And it is not a matter of preferring my brother get this. It's a matter of me storming the gates of heaven. God is looking for people right now that are just exasperated, frustrated, just saying, "This can't keep going on like it's going on in my life, in my family, in my church, in my school, in my neighborhood. It just can't. And I am the difference maker. I am simply able to accomplish what other people can't accomplish." You've got to get some confidence in yourself after a while. And you've got to be able to promote yourself into the kingdom of God and say, "Me first. Me first. I got to get this for myself. I can't prefer everybody else. Me first. There's a whole world drowning, but if I don't save myself, I can't reach back and get those people. I've got to accomplish this impossibility. And so I tell you what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to get it everything I've got, and I'm going to get confidence in myself." There's nothing like a person that has confidence in their prayers. "Well, I'll pray for it. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't bother." I want somebody that's got a story to tell. I preached in Dallas some time ago, and I told a lot of crazy, wild stories that had happened in my lifetime. And there was some preacher there, and he told the host pastor, he said, "Boy, that guy from San Antonio," said, "he's got some bear stories." He said, "That's nothing." He said, "Go down to San Antonio, and he'll show you the bear skins." Friend, you need to be able to show the bear skins. You need to be able to have some confidence in you. Look what the Lord has done. You don't know where I came from. You don't know that I had zero chance. You don't know that I defied the odds and said, I don't care what my mama said or my daddy, my brothers or my sisters, praise God, I'm going to rise up. And there are people in this building that have risen, but praise God, you ain't at the top yet. You're still rising. You're still rising. You ain't seen nothing yet. You thought they were shocked at the last family reunion. You wait till you go to the next family reunion, and you're going to have them all over in the corner huddled together, whispering about, can you see what she's doing? Have you heard what they're doing with their life? Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you, there are some people in this church that God has got his hand on, and he's brought you so far. But do not let the acceptance of good deny the acceptance of the best that God wants to do in your life. You need to get up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, praise God, I will defy every odd that's against me. I don't care what it is, because I am believing that God has called me as a special person. I'm going to tell you this. I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I got called to preach, and God just opened so many doors. When I was a kid, God was opening doors for me, but I did not place the proper emphasis on it. But you know what God did? God just calls, not at one time, but just random people to come and speak into my spirit. And they begin to speak to me about the blessings of God in my life. I wasn't even realizing how much God was blessing me. And God used people to show me the blessing of God in my life. Just different individuals, saints of God, preachers of God, and just a half a dozen of them over a period of 2 or 3 years. And you know what I came to the conclusion of? And every one of you need to come to this conclusion. I'm something pretty special to God. Friend, you're never going to be a person of faith until you realize you're pretty special to God. There's 2 million people in San Antonio area. Ain't 2 million people here. You're one of the special ones. God's called you. God's educated you. God's anointed you. God has baptized you. And he's just waiting for you to recognize what he's recognized in you. Have you considered my servant Job? Job hadn't considered himself yet. But praise God, when the battle was over, Job realized he was a very special individual. And praise God, his Redeemer liveth. And everything the devil would take away, God would bring it back to him multiplied. You need to consider the fact that you have defied every odds to be where you are right now. You didn't get here by accident. You didn't get here by coincidence. God brought you to where you are, and he did not bring you where you are just to set you on a pedestal, but he's got a purpose for your life. You need to get up in the morning and say, praise God, look what the Lord has wrought. Look what God has done in my life. I'm going to go somewhere today, and I'm going to work a miracle. I'm going to change somebody's life. I'm going to open a door that's been shut for a long time, praise God, because there is an anointing on me, an anointing on me. The best people I've pastored have been irritants. You know what an irritant is? You get something in your eye, you just rub it all the time. I've pastored a few people in this congregation that came to the conclusion that this church could not operate without them. They're irritating, but they're a blessing because they won't let the lights go on without being here. They won't let the doors be unlocked. They'll demand a key to this place. Well, I need a key, Pastor. I just like to come down. They're just irritants. God is looking for those kind of people that just say, hey, the work of God ain't going to get done without me. It all falls on me. God is looking for some people that have that kind of confidence in their relationship. Because God wants you to accomplish some miracles, some unbelievable, unfathomable things that other people don't do. But you can't do it until you get confidence. Cast not away your confidence. Get strong in faith. praise God. Just begin to, you know, when I traveled for years, and I just, you know, God's looking for somebody, and you have to understand this in the right way. He's looking for people to just get cocky faith. Just praise God, it's going to happen because I'm here. It's going to happen because I pray for you. It's going to happen because I said it's going to happen. When you look at those people in the Bible, that's the people that stand out in the Bible. They begin to believe their own publicity. They believe their own PR. They believe that when they got there, it was going to rain. When they got there, the oil was going to multiply. When they got there and threw a stick in the water, praise God, the water was going to be healed. They simply believed that if they sent the word out to the mailbox, the leprosy was going to fall off. They believed it when they said it. And God's looking for some people like that on planet Earth today that will just say, hey, I am going to do the impossible in my lifetime. I defy every odd. It doesn't matter what weapons formed against me, it's not going to prosper. It doesn't matter how many people are against me, it's going to come to naught. It doesn't matter what the devil says, he's a joke and a liar. It simply does not matter. It don't matter what they said about my kids. My kids are going to rise up to call me blessed. It don't matter what they said, I'm going to prosper. It don't matter what the doctor said, I'm going to live and not die. It doesn't matter what they say, I'm going to have a ministry, praise God. I'm going to be used of God to heal some folks. You know, all you need to be a phenomenon is just go down to the hospital and raise one person up there that they say is going to die, and you'll become a phenomenon just like that. Praise God. You say, well, I prayed for Sarah. Keep praying until you get a big one. Well, I used to have a friend, and I met him at PTL, and he became my friend. And I listened to him preach. I said, what's the big deal? Because this guy's having big meetings, and he wasn't that good a preacher. And so he was a little older. He's in heaven now. I finally asked guy. I said, what about Jerry? I said, what made him such a big deal? I said, you don't know? I said, no. We were at PTL in Charlotte. And the guy said, oh, you don't know? I said, no. He said, this is a true story. He said he was preaching in a little church in Austin, Texas, back in the 60s. And they brought a child, what we used to call a mongoloid. And they brought that baby up there, and Jerry fooled around. He'd sing and preach and just fool and read, just never knew what Jerry's going to do. And said he reached out and touched that baby's head and said before that whole congregation, that head just normalized. Said Jerry's been living on that ever since. Let me tell you about miracles. They are highly contagious. They are highly contagious. They're like potato chips. I bet you just can't have one. Praise God. You have a miracle, you'll develop a taste for them. You'll have to have a miraculous fix every day. Praise God. God ever sends you a $5,000 check in the mail that you wasn't expecting, you'll check that mailbox every day, every day, every day, every day. You ever go to a doctor and get a bad report and he just gives, and you go home and pray and go back to that same doctor and he reverses himself. Every time you get a pain, you'll just put a hand on it. It don't matter. Praise God. I tell you, miracles are contagious. You begin to accomplish the impossible against all odds. And there are some people in this building that have got the deck stacked against you, but it don't matter. It don't matter who's against you. If the Lord is for you, will you stand on your feet right now? Because I can tell you the Lord is for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And there are some normal people that are getting ready to do some abnormal things. There are some natural people that are getting ready to be supernaturally anointed of the Lord. There are some people that are very obscure that God is going to raise up and shine a light on you. You ought to get up every morning and say, praise God, I'm going to do something impossible today in the name of the Lord Jesus. If there's anybody in this house that I've connected with, I'm sorry I've preached too long. If there's anybody in this house that connects with what I'm saying today, I want